Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. And I believe over the next 4 years, we're going to see a suffering in the patriot ranks. Because, as I just said, it's now or never. Many people are going to be basically reveling and, you know, just basking in the actions of this newly inaugurated or newly sworn in president and his administration. I'm going to have to try to go through this objectively because there's a danger in what I'm doing. Because bottom line, people feel like criticism is an attack. And so, I mean, how many times has somebody constructively given you advice on what you needed to do or how you needed to change? Because if it's something that you've got to change, how is that not offensive? What's the matter with the way I am? And so, anyway, I know I'm probably going to get more and more haters that are going to probably, you know, call me out or what have you. And I think we're at that point, folks, that you're going to need to start discriminating for yourself. So what I've actually done in setting the stage, because I've noticed that there is going to be and has been a lot of news regarding the invasion and what Trump is going to do. So we're going to talk about most of that today. And so as we do this, I think I've probably forgot about the obligatory. So let me go through the obligatories first because I'm more caught up in the moment, you know. And so the debt is fraud. Just remember, all of the money we're going to spend, if it is on unconstitutional objects, like, you know, welfare, like regulations or bailouts, any type of welfare, any type of regulations and the enforcement of things that we should not be enforcing. Now, I know there's a lot of people that there's... There's a lot of people in the Trump administration that people just love. Oh, Kristi Noem. Oh, you know, these are great people. No. As a matter of fact, the constitutionalist from South Dakota didn't think Kristi Noem was a constitutionalist. She was more of a supporter of the bureaucracy and empowering an executive. Basically, when you look at how she ruled, she tried to rule in a monarchical fashion using the bureaucracy. Because when you've got a bureaucracy that has created an unconstitutional bastion or vestige of laws and or regulations that are not constitutional, again, then you have an executive form of government. Because if you create something that you do not have the authority to create, that is not legitimate power. Anyway, and we'll dive into that when we get there. But as we look at the debt is fraud, you're welcome to join the prayer circle with Loudoun Liberty. And or if you have your own appeal to heaven, and I hope people start really realizing that getting all the way to the Constitution is far better than what we would call, what we would look at as soft tyranny. It was hard tyranny when we actually saw complete abandonment of the law. But when we see the execution of the law, when we see the execution of things being done by the wrong organizations, you just remember that the Department of Homeland Security was established by the globalist Bush. And now look who's running the Department of Homeland Security instead of dismantling it for being unconstitutional. Remember, folks, as we look at everything that is coming from D.C., it's almost all illegitimate. But anyhow, back to my obligatories. Your campaign needs to begin today, folks. You need to start helping everybody understand what is constitutional and what isn't constitutional. What may seem like favorable government, because it seems like, you know, that's the way it kind of should be. But how it's being done, who's doing it, how it's, like I said, how it's being done, and sometimes the reasons why don't add up. They don't align with the Constitution. So, all right. So now that the inauguration is complete, right, and the first day of drunkenness and returning the power back to the conservative side of governing, I would think that it'd be paramount for me to recommend to everybody to maintain a skeptical eye on the next few days and the next few years. The world has already been on a path of deception, and we've been on that path for a long, long time. Are we going to embrace, you know, being global citizens under the conservative presidency? Or are we going to recognize it still as unconstitutional? Are we going to recognize the changes in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, or whatever, I forget whatever the address is, but you know, the White House, because the change of occupants in the White House, are we going to look at certain things that are being done? As a matter of fact, I can tell you right now, with the Trump banning and, or I should say actually pausing the ban on TikTok, is, you know, one of those things that is kind of like the appeasement, because there are a lot of people out there that look at TikTok as an open social media. Now, because it doesn't have the same level of, you know, controls. As a matter of fact, when you look and compare Facebook and many of the other social medias to TikTok, it seems like, you know, the fascists have been in control of the American social media, and TikTok has kind of been the wild, wild west. Regardless of where it's from, and as a matter of fact, the problem isn't TikTok. The problem is Facebook and the rest of social media and how they've been getting away with violating our rights. It doesn't matter if you're perceived as a private company. There is no such thing as a private business in the United States, because you have to register and get the regulations and approval, and the ability to regulate comes under the auspices of a state government, and actually unconstitutionally today it comes under a federal government. The government has no authority to directly regulate businesses, period. That's a state function. They can't create corporations. And so all of these people that look at the government corporations that have been instituted from the federal government, and they look at them illegitimate, and I go, well, there's never been authority delegated within that constitution via an amendment, or ever, you know, an actual derived power, an actual portion of the constitution that has given them that authority. They've assumed these things. So, as we see this transformation of this unconstitutional Leviathan take a form that might be far more palatable to the majority of Americans, folks, these are the days. These are the days where the true deception comes, because of our ignorance and our lack of understanding the limitations on our government. We're going to accept the favorable hand of tyranny because it's what we like. It seems favorable. It is still tyranny. Who is to say the alleged change in the path that you will be witnessing is just that, a change? There will be some stark differences. We'll be heading what seems to be down a different direction. But are we dismantling our relationship with the United Nations and our involvement with all of the global governances and the banks and so forth that we have no constitutional authority to be involved in? No, that's not going to happen. Just keep this in mind. If you've ever heard the term the color of law, the color of law is a phrase that speaks to the building up and the establishing of illegitimate law. In other words, when they create a law or they create something, they go off and they create the department or the Environmental Protection Agency. Because, you know, we're doing things with the environment and somebody has to regulate and that's going to be us. No, you can't do it if it's not within the Constitution. And so as they created this EPA, it didn't come with laws. It started creating laws. And over time, those laws became very, what's the best word for it? Very pernicious. They were serving very specific purposes that would actually lend to taking away your property, your rights, and strangling your state. Taking away your water rights. Claiming that what you may be doing might be polluting the water. And yet the same hand that has been operating that has been spraying all of these chemicals up into the air. Now, the chemtrails were maintained during Trump's first administration. Is he going to shut down the chemtrails? How many people are going to... Oh, they'll just look past that. They'll look past those things that will be maintained and will go, I guess it's the same boss as the old boss. They're just doing things that... they're playing the music that we want to finally hear. Anyway... We will see many things that will mess with the Constitution. But, and I say mess, I mean mesh. They will seem to align. They'll seem to be, it seems constitutional. And what we want to focus on is the evasion, this immigration, reclassification, whatever you want to call it. We're going to go through some news that's actually building into the inauguration. So this is news that actually kind of started back at the end of the Biden administration as they were trying to start taking some changes because they were taking heat for doing things that was absolutely unconstitutional, treasonous. This crap was treasonous. And so will Trump be so treasonous? We'll see. But just remember, if you're not following the Constitution and you're doing what you want to do and using these bureaucracies to your advantage of your conservative tyranny, tyranny is tyranny. It's the same coin. It's just an opposite side of the coin. That's all. It's just the kind of tyranny that we like. But keep this in mind. When it comes to enforcement of the law, when it comes to dealing with insurrections, when it comes to the invasion, most importantly, the enforcement of law, all law must be enforced. So when we see ICE, when we see the Border Patrol, when we see these agencies operating in your state, actually, you know, gathering up the illegals and so forth, the invaders, if it's not the militia, it is not constitutional. It may be favorable, but it is not constitutional because only the militia. Remember, the only purpose of federalizing an army for defending the United States, for the army to exist, it must federalize the militia. And the only three purposes that Congress has the authority for creating this army to do these constitutional functions is executing the laws, suppressing insurrections, and repelling invasions. Not to go stop a despot in another country. They don't have, the federal government has no authority to form an army and send it outside of America. They have the authority to use the Navy and the Marine Corps into those matters, but not forming an army, period. So let's kind of cover some of the news regarding this invasion. And actually, this just happened just recently. I think it's this last week. A federal appeals court on Friday, so yeah, this last week, against an Obama-era policy that provides amnesty and a pathway to citizenship for illegal immigrants who entered the United States, the U.S., as children. In other words, these people came in here as children. Now, this isn't even dealing with the anchor baby problem. No, we've still yet to see the court even try to take an opposite direction regarding the anchor baby. They redefined a U.S. citizen to being somebody that has been born here, regardless of the legitimacy of their birth. In other words, if their parents aren't U.S. citizens, they cannot be a citizen. They take on the citizenship of their parents. It is antithetical to the nature of families to basically divide a family by saying, because your child was born here, it's ours. That is the beginning of parental rights being attacked. And this happened way back, I think, in the 60s. But anyway, maybe the 50s. A 3-judge panel of the 5th U.S. District Court of Appeals in New Orleans ruled unanimously that a new version of the policy issued by President Biden in 2022 overstepped the executive branch's authority. The decision by 2 Republican-appointed judges and 1 Democratic-appointed judge is the largest blow, or the latest blow, I should say, to the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, program. In a string of legal challenges that has kept 500,000 so-called dreamers waiting for a resolution for more than a decade. Now, the fact that these folks are being strung along over matters that are absolutely unconstitutional, they have to go back. It doesn't matter how long they've lived here. The fact is their parents, or however they got here, was an illegitimate act. It was a violation of our law. They need to go back. So remember, folks, as we send back these people that have been in America, these people that have been in America should become the champions for calling for that state to join America instead of saying, no, we want everybody to come here, because we actually have a large concentration of people that 50 million. I'm telling you, it's probably 50 million. And I can probably support. I think I can easily support that. When we look at the Yale MIT surveys back in 2018, halfway through Trump's administration, they were pointing to 22 million at that point in time. They are saying that somewhere between 10 and 15 million have come in just under the Biden administration. So that right there has taken us to 35, maybe even 40 million. And I am here to tell you that MIT Yale study that they held may have seemed like, you know, a lot. There's no doubt in my mind they were suppressing a lot more. There have been people coming into this country even before, and I remember when Obama was going into office, they were talking about 20 to 30 million then. Sean Hannity himself, I don't know why he doesn't keep track of his own numbers over the years, but even then they were talking about 20 to 30 million. That was before Obama got in and before he started really promoting people to come here and creating the DACA. I mean, remember, Obama ran on a platform that, you know, we needed to defend our borders. And as soon as he became president, he made them as porous as he possibly could. And then Trump came in and tried to shut that down. And then Biden came in and peeled all that back and actually started taking action that violated the Constitution in so many different ways. And we're going to cover that today. So as we go on, as we look at this decision on DACA, the Friday's decision does create an opportunity for DACA to be appealed to the Supreme Court for a third time. And it comes just 3 days before President Trump is inaugurated and actually presumes office. So as we look at this, then we have to start understanding that these are opportunities for Trump to actually try to straddle both sides, because that's what politicians do. They compromise, and the compromise will not bode well constitutionally. The Trump administration is planning illegal immigrant arrests throughout U.S. on day one. And actually, this was reported, I think, in ABC or CBS. The incoming Trump administration is eyeing immigration arrests of illegal immigrants across the country as soon as day one, as top officials say they are ready to, quote, take the handcuffs off the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. So who's ICE? Is it the militia? No, these are mercenaries, hired people that are employed with benefits and federal employees, permanent federal employees. Remember, they're not supposed to have a standing army unless they actually create the budget, and it's based on 2 years by 2 years. Well, near as I can tell, the ICE budget is not a 2 year by 2 year. And the fact that the ICE was formed without federalizing the militia is, I mean, there's so many different levels of the problem constitutionally. Anyway, the Wall Street Journal reported that the administration is planning a large-scale raid in Chicago on Tuesday. Let's see if that happens tomorrow. Targeting those with criminal backgrounds in particular. Incoming border czar Tom Homan was asked by Fox News' Jesse Waters about the media reports of a, quote, big raid, close quote, on Tuesday in Chicago. But Homan said, ICE will be working across the country. So in other words, what you may be seeing in one spot may be kind of favorable, but it's going to happen everywhere. And it may seem, and this may be favorable to everybody that loves having some autonomy, loves the fact that, you know, we're supposed to have a protection of our borders. But folks, you've got to look at the processes and what has to happen and what needs to be done. How many people, if you had a job, and there's probably millions of people, a few million, in the federal employment that their job is not legitimate. I want you to think about this. Let's look at your particular job and how you are bringing money home and place a perspective that all of a sudden tomorrow, the state, the federal government, or somebody comes along and goes, this job that you have is illegitimate. Boom. You're out. Now what are you going to do? Well, I think what should happen, and I think a fast way of doing this would be actually telling the state that we need this many people, we've got this many employees, and oh, by the way, they're going to become a part of your militia. And these people have to start taking up residency. But they have to be on a plan of pushing everything back to a militia process. Because bottom line, the border is a constitutional responsibility that they're supposed to fulfill. It can only be fulfilled by the militia. Now, when we look at all these other agencies, that's even a bigger problem. Like labor laws, housing laws, employment laws, or I should say, let's go down a different path, environmental, energy, and so forth and so on. Healthcare, the CDC. So when we look at all these agencies that have been formed, and let's just say the states really quickly say, yeah, you know what, we want it, we'll take that on. We'll bring that in as a part of the militia, but actually they can't. Because when it comes to labor, when it comes to housing, when it comes to these things that are not enumerated, the federal government can't say, hey, give us some militia so we can federalize to enforce laws we don't have the authority to force. Remember, the militia is the only entity that can execute the laws of the union. Only entity. But those laws have to be legitimate laws. They just can't federalize the militia and say, now go over here and start wreaking havoc in these states where they're not abiding by federal labor laws. What? There's no such thing as federal labor laws. This is all the color of law. So understand, this is one of the reasons why, how important it is to actually audit the Constitution. If we look back at the Kentucky resolutions of 1798, and how Thomas Jefferson actually went through the Constitution and the Acts and identified how they violated each part of the Constitution and how they needed to be basically nullified. They needed to be basically voided out. This is what we're facing today in a monstrosity. We'll be right back. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so at the beginning of the show, I kind of made a reference to an executive form of government, where the executive uses bureaucracies to enforce laws and so forth. And I was criticizing Noam, how she was doing that. Well, let me read the next line and let me just dive into this as we continually go through this. Quote, this is Holman's, again speaking. Quote, there's going to be a big raid across the country. Chicago is just one of many places. We've got 24 field offices across the country. On Tuesday, ICE is finally going to go out and do their job. We're going to take the handcuffs off and let them go and arrest criminal aliens. That's what's going to happen. Oh, hold on here. Close quote, is that what Holman said? Hold on here. We're supposed to repel invaders. They're just... They believe that they will win the populist war if they only arrest and repel the criminals. Is that what you want, folks? Do you want them to allow the other invaders who have no right to be here? Constitution, they should also be repelled. They're only going to remove these criminals. Huh. And so the problem is that there are states, and Chicago's probably one of those, where they are, you know, basically ignoring the arresting of these people. So they're going to actually enforce this. This is really a militant action. But reality, all 50 states should be told to muster up in your own states all illegals, all invaders, and basically detain them. And we will start basically deporting them. And maybe the best thing to do would be to deport them to Mexico. Because bottom line, Mexico's allowed this to happen in the first place. They didn't jump over Mexico and land just on our side of the border. They went all the way through Mexico, and Mexico gave them a bye. In other words, yeah, go ahead. Come on. You're attacking our country to the north. There's got to be consequences to bad behavior, right? We talk about this all the time. So I think that deporting them back to Mexico and saying it's your responsibility to get them the rest of the way. But these folks, and bottom line, these are people. And when you look at the tragedies that can befall, and when you can actually start placing a face and a name to a tragedy, this always bodes as a bad omen. It actually creates bad press. And when people can start, you know, using somebody that died in the crushing of, you know, these people being cast out, because somebody's going to get hurt, somebody's going to die. You don't go to war. You don't even go into exercises. I remember in the Marine Corps where almost every time we had an exercise, somebody died. So, there's going to be people being hurt. I can tell you that the American people with the left-wing media will be out there vilifying the government And they're going to be saying that, oh, all the, this may be constant, this may be somewhat legitimate, but look, this person died. And I'm not going to marginalize the importance of life. And I have to emphasize the importance of the rule of law, that we have to start abiding by the law. And we have to regret the fact that there may be some people hurt. People will be displaced because they should never have been here in the first place. But some people may be hurt. The question is, how will this really pan out? As we look at, you know, the intent, and then we're going to see states like Washington, and unless you're doing something against your leftist political activists, and unless Trump is going to be willing to remove politicians like Bob Ferguson, the incoming governor, or I think he's now sworn in, that Ferguson needs to be removed. He's going to wage war against the Constitution, as he has been as the Attorney General for the past however many years. So the fact is this, folks. We're going to see all sorts of things, and how everything is played in the field of compromise. I can't see this being good. I can see things positive coming from parts of the things that are happening, but if it's not reforming, or I should say reclaiming or getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution, instead of just creating a better life for you and me unconstitutionally, it's not better. It's not going to be better for our children. We have to get this right. And we only have one shot at doing this. So, anyway, this going on to this news, these news announcements or these news stories, the administration has promised a mass deportation operation as well as increased border security. Officials have said they intend to target with criminal histories and convictions, but also have stressed that they will potentially arrest anyone in the United States illegally. Okay, potentially. Well, that's nice. There are currently more than 7 million individuals on ICE's non-detained docket. So that means that we actually might see this go back down to, what, 40 million? Trump DHS pick Noem pledges to end the controversial app used by migrants on day one. And so what is this app? Kristi Noem, President-elect Donald Trump's nominee to lead the Department of Homeland Security, told lawmakers she will end the controversy or the controversial CBP One app and a related migrant parole program that has allowed nearly 1.5 million immigrants into the United States. Now, some of this stuff is just will absolutely infuriate you that they've been doing this. Before I dive into that, because the question is, when are we going to see impeachment processes for those who actually flagrantly violated the Constitution? So this is Noem basically answering, I believe, Josh Hawley. She says, yes, Senator, if confirmed, I have the opportunity to be secretary on day one. The CBP one will be shut down, close quote. Noem told Senator Josh Hawley, the Republican from Missouri. We've talked about him before. He doesn't care about the Constitution. Most Republicans don't, folks. At her confirmation hearing during the Senate Homeland Security Committee meeting. Noem was first asked by Hawley if the southern border was secure. Senator, no, the southern border is not secure, but in just 3 days, we will have a new president in this country, President Donald J. Trump, and he will secure our border, she said. She was then asked about the use of the CBP One app, which allows immigrants to be paroled into the United States. The app was created during the first Trump administration to assist with scheduling cargo inspections. However, it was controversially expanded in 2023 to allow migrants to make an appointment at a port of entry to be allowed in. initially due to an exception from the Title 42 public health order, and then since May, to be paroled into the U.S. as part of a Biden administration expansion of a lawful pathways, close quote, lawful pathways, close quote. At the end of December, more than a million people, or almost a million people, individuals, had been made appointments to be paroled through the app, according to Customs and Border. In other words, there had been almost a million people at the end of December. As of the end of December, that's how many people have used this app. Who knows how many actually until Trump has been inaugurated. Connecting to that was a parole process for Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans, CHNV, which allows up to 30,000 nationals a month from those countries to receive travel authorization to enter the United States. Hold on here. We're not to be picking favorites. Are we? This, you know, folks, why isn't Europe suing the crap out of the United States to say, hey, your laws say that you can't pick favorites, but you're not allowing us into America at those same numbers? Why those countries and not us? Because bottom line, the federal government has its thumb on the scale, and because we had a leftist president, he wanted to bring combatants in that would actually do what they could to overturn and actually undermine our constitutional republic and push us into a new form of government. Anyway, as of the end of December, about 500,000 nationals have been allowed through the program. It was first applied to Venezuela. Now, they're just talking about these, the CHNVs, 500,000 of them. It was first applied to Venezuela in October 22 and expanded to the other three nationalities in January 23. While the Biden administration said it was a part of an effort to encourage legal rather than illegal immigration, and had, this is a part of bypassing, folks. This is not immigration. This is getting parole. In other words, moving on, the thing goes on and says, illegal immigration had been a part of a slowing down of nationals entering illegally from those groups. Opponents condemned it as a concierge service for otherwise illegal mass immigration. Noem said she would end the CBP-1 on the first day in office. There's data and information, quote, she's saying, there's data and information in there that we will preserve so that we can ensure we know who's coming into this country and who's already here that we need to go find, she clarified. She then pointed to the CHNV and, quote, stating, where are federal government actually paid to fly people into this country directly from other countries without any vetting or knowing who they are, close quote. So I'm not sure if you've heard this, but they've been bringing people in, not at the border. They're bringing them into your states from other nations directly and unleashing them in your state. I know that there's plenty of people that have heard this, but the fact that this is starting to come out, I will say this, there's a huge opportunity if you are a PR pig, if you just love public relations, there is a real way to actually create a very unfavorable, unsavory view of what the Biden administration had been doing. So much so that the people may actually say, impeach him. He needs to be impeached, just like Trump was impeached. Remember, past presidents can be impeached. And I hope Bill Clinton is hearing this, that brilliant scholar of a man. He has to be very aware of the fact that it is a legitimate process now that he still receives emoluments, that those emoluments that he's receiving can be ripped from him. That's what the impeachment process would do. It would rip away any pay, any emoluments. Once you've been impeached and once you've been found guilty, then you are no longer entitled to anything. Ah, it doesn't send you to jail. You have to face criminal trial after that. Impeachment only removes the emoluments from you. And that's the whole point. Impeaching a president afterward, like Obama, all of these men, Bush, all of them, they all can stand trial, or they can all stand to be impeached, where we no longer have to pay a penny for their security, their special security, or I should say Secret Service. They no longer get any of the favors. They get no pay, nothing. They don't get a stipend for their little libraries. This would literally shut them down. And as a matter of fact, just keep in mind that when these men go around and travel and speak in foreign nations, that has to end too, because that's a violation of the Logan Act. Only those under the executive direction can actually go and speak. And we need to stop that. We actually need to stop this pandering to the globalists from Americans like Bill Gates and the rest of them. But that's another story, another time. So anyway, she then pointed to CNHV, where our federal government has actually paid to fly people over directly into our country and without any vetting or anything else. Quote, so there are several of these programs that need to be eliminated, and we need to ensure that we're following illegal immigration laws, close quote, she said. Now, the question is, she was a governor of South Carolina, South Dakota, and I knew people up there that were complaining about this. She didn't do a thing about it. She didn't do any contesting that I know of. If you've got any, underground paper that says, hey, she's actually doing something, in pushing back against the Biden administration, she just sat there and just let everything continue to go. She is a bureaucrat. And she's now a chief bureaucrat because she's over a big federal bureaucracy. Anyway, moving on. Biden admin won't extend parole for 500,000 plus migrants in U.S. via controversial flight program. So this is more shining the light on this Biden program. In October 2024, CBS, this was during the election, as this started coming out. And maybe these types of things actually had a factor in the outcome of the election. But CBS News first reported that officials had decided not to extend the parole for Venezuelan nationals who came into the U.S. via the parole process for Cubans, Haitians, and Nicaraguans and Venezuelans. However, in a statement on Friday, DHS confirmed that it would no longer be extending the parole. So this is a different article, but I'm just trying to connect these things. These things were actually happening. These things were actually happening and sanctioned and being operated by our own federal government. Quote, as initially stated in the Federal Register, notices a grant of parole under these processes was for a temporary period of up to 2 years. This 2-year period was extended to enable individuals to seek humanitarian relief or other immigration. There's no benefits under immigration. As a matter of fact, show me in the Constitution where immigration, has this ability of any of these things. Immigration is a process where one person applies. That is the process. They've actually came and bolstered up this whole process where they became the active pursuant in saying, hey, you want to come here? You want to come here? Instead of saying, oh, you want to come here? Well, let's see what you may offer. The government's responsibility under the Constitution is to have a uniform rules of naturalization. They do not have the ability to pick and choose who can come here, who can't come here. They have a uniform rule of naturalization. Technically, if you remember, I brought this up, the 1795 Act for a uniform rule of naturalization, where they laid out the state's responsibility to do this. It is the states that actually have to allow, they're the first step in allowing a person to become a citizen. Now, we started deviating from the process, and thank God they never went through a constitutional process of doing this. In other words, amending the Constitution and giving the federal government all this authority. Because all of this can be undone, because technically they never had the authority to be doing any of this. And they never had the authority to take these responsibilities away from the state in actually creating the citizenship or initiating the citizenship process. So just go read that act, folks, and just notice that the states are the ones that can actually put a kibosh on a person's citizenship. So if you move, if you get into the United States as a migrant or immigration, and you say, I want to go to this state and I want to apply, because that's how it was done in the old days, in the 1700s. And so they would get into Virginia. And if Virginia, they applied to become a citizen of that state, and Virginia said, no, we're not going to allow you to be a citizen of this state, which means that your temporary visa to coming into the United States was going to be denied because now you don't have a place to go to. And here's the thing. If Virginia said you can't be a citizen of that state, then you may be able to become a citizen of another state, but you can never become a citizen of the United States because one state has barred you from becoming a citizen of their state. Because a citizen of the United States has access and privileges to be able to go freely. The reciprocity of the protections of a U.S. citizen means that they can go into every state as a citizen. And that means that the federal government could not trump, could not overdo or, you know, take away a state's sovereignty and saying, you cannot be a citizen here. We're not going to allow you to be here. There you go. So the states actually have far more power regarding citizenship when we really look at how it was defined in the very beginning. The state's sovereignty was protected on those things. It's interesting how certain things were really promoted in the very beginning, like the banks. Some really bad things were done, but they still didn't step on the sovereignty of the state. They made sure that the state's sovereignty was never questioned. At least until the 1800s, it took time for them to slowly start stepping on hands and fingers. But bottom line, the first initial acts of bad behavior by the Federalists, such as the Assumption Act, the Bank Act, and so forth, those things were viewed as, oh, well, that's just something the federal government's doing. Okay, whether they should do it or not, that's not, but as long as we are still the sovereigns and controlling everything. So had the federal government really gone, you know, hard right or hard left out the gate, the states would have reeled it back in very quickly. And when they went hard left with the Alien Sedition Acts, then there were very few states at that point that were willing to do anything about it because they were equally on board. They were empowered at that point, and this is where basically Madison and Jefferson used the Republican Party to, you know, to basically create a huge campaign in less than a year. In basically a year's time, they created a campaign to oust the Federalists. And they succeeded. We've covered this. They actually succeeded in doing that. Anyway, so let me get back to this new stuff, because I just want to wrap this up, running out of time. Those, quote, those who do not have pending immigration benefits, which there's no such, constitutionally, there's no such thing as an immigration benefit, or who have been granted an immigration benefit during their two-year parole period, will need to depart the United States prior to the expiration of their authorized parole period, or may be placed in removal proceedings after the period of parole expires, they said. The program was first implemented for Venezuelans in October 2022 and extended to all other nationalities in January 2023. It allows migrants to use the CBP-1 app to enter the United States on temporary parole for 2 years. In other words, if you got this app, you can come right in. You just walk right in through a port of entry. You don't even have to go through the deserts. Okay? And receive a work permit if they pass background checks and have a sponsor. It was part of the, and I'll bet you anything, we're going to find all sorts of creatures involved in the sponsorship program. But it was all a part of the Biden administration's expansion of, quote, lawful pathways. Actually, there's nothing lawful about this. To tackle the border crisis. This was not about tackling it. This was putting it on steroids, because it wasn't that people still weren't basically going across our border. I'd never heard a problem where the Border Patrol says, hey, they stopped. Why'd they stop? oh, they're using this now. No, no. They were using that in addition to crashing over our border. It was just putting this invasion on steroids. So as we kind of go through this kind of last couple of paragraphs I want to go through. Through the end of August 2024, nearly a half a million Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans arrived, they say lawfully, on commercial flights and were granted parole under these processes. The program has received furious opposition from Republicans, some of who have described the administration as running migrant flights, but under this program, migrants must organize their own travel. Republicans said the program was an abuse of parole, which is limited to a case-by-case basis for urgent humanitarian reasons or significant public benefit. Now, I got to stop here. When Republicans say that there are humanitarian reasons for somebody to come to the United States, I have to ask you, show me that in the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't acknowledge Christ or any form of religion. That is left to the states. No, actually, it does. It recognizes Christ in the year of our Lord. It does recognize Christ, but it does not take a position on any faith of Christ or any faith of a religion, period. But when we look at what they're talking about and saying, well, there are these humanitarian purposes. No, no, because each side can play, well, we think this is a humanitarian effort for our guys. No, it's humanitarian for our guys. Like these H-1B visas. H-1B visas for these technical, supposedly, workers to come into the United States. Because the Republicans love those guys. Or I should say businesses kind of love those guys. It's all about placating the different sides and the different appeals of business and corporations and so forth. At least on the Republican side, they're trying to do that. But bottom line, there's no constitutionality of giving favoritism because you're educated, you can come here on a visa and stay here and actually pursue and recruit people to do that. No. Immigration is a case-by-case basis, and the real expanse of America is through admitting states into the union. We need to keep as many people at bay and say, if you want to enjoy liberty, you need to convince the people of your country to become a state in the United States. You'll have to change some of your culture. You'll have to basically change your currency, your laws, and so forth to align with our constitutional republic. That'll take you some time. But while you're doing that, we will protect you from the evildoers of Japan, or not Japan, China. No, I'm sorry. I won't even tell you how that came up. But when we look at the nefarious nations of Russia and China, then we can easily see how these countries that are under the shadows are in the grasp of them, being choked by these entities. Then we can clearly see the necessity of offering, or at least them making the appeal to us to say we would like to become a state in the United States. If that happens, then we have a responsibility to make them a territory and protect them as they transition into the United States, period. That is God's plan of global governance, not this whole, we just adopt this. I'm out of here. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic. We need your help. God bless.
My show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.